Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
It's Friday and time for our Ideas Matter segment. In today's segment, we are talking with filmmaker Ian Chaney and Plune Boresius, director of grants and programs for Mass Humanities, about this year's Massachusetts History Conference, which is called Chew on This, Presenting Food in Massachusetts Public History. It's going to take place June 1st, and Ian Chaney will be giving the keynote address. With them, we'll discuss Chaney's new documentary, The Search for General So. Yes, is that the correct?
That's it.
Excellent, yes. Which was funded in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities. The film is about the importance and excitement of learning to understand where our food came from and how it got to the shelf. Ian Chaney and Plune Boresius, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you both here. So, Plune, talk a little bit about this event and Ian being the keynote speaker and what you hope to do at the conference.
The Massachusetts History Conference is essentially a service conference. It's meant to teach people skills and public history, skills in public history, and help them network and make connections and get together ideas. And every year we have a different theme. It happens on June 1st in Worcester at the Hogan Center. I'm blanking on the name of the college. this year's theme is food, and that's why we asked Ian Chaney to come and speak, because we are hoping to, we have a lot of sessions planned that explore the history of food of Massachusetts, the history of food networks, how food got to the table, but also to tie it to today, how food gets to the table today, and how we can be conscious of what we eat and where it comes from. And that's where Ian Chaney comes in. He makes these fabulous documentaries that help us see how we help us become aware how food happens.
So, Ian, when it comes to those issues of how food happens, what are some of the issues and topics that you want to get across?
Sure. Well, fundamentally, I fell into documentary filmmaking through my interest in food about 12 years ago. And the fundamental question I was so intrigued with was, how did I grow up being so disconnected from where my food came from, knowing so little about this stuff I eat every day? And so some of the films that I've subsequently made, including King Corn, a film about growing an acre of corn in Iowa, and Truck Farm, a film exploring urban agriculture projects, principally in New York City, have emerged out of this curiosity about not only the decades-deep history of the story of our food, but also the contemporary, everyday story of our sustenance. Where does it come from? How is it grown? What does it do to us when we put it into our bodies? How do farm subsidies work? These stories are so often overlooked, and yet they're really crucial to understanding a host of other issues. Everything from how our economy works to the human impact on the natural world. So food really becomes, and has become for me, a powerful window onto myriad issues.
When you look at that window and ultimately what you're trying to talk about, what do you think the average person is coming in to when it comes to their base knowledge of like what they understand about their food? And another deeper question of being and how much they actually do want to understand about their food.
Sure. Well, fortunately, there's been a real wave of media and interest in the stories of our food, I think particularly in the last 10 to 15 years. And so I think there's not only greater understanding than there might have been, say, 20 or 30 years ago, but of issues like the obesity epidemic and type 2 diabetes and the complications surrounding the use of pesticides and fertilizers and how our food is grown. But I think there's also just an increased hunger, if you will, for more information and more stories. I think the more people know, the more they're curious to find out about how food is grown in their own local community, for example. And I think that's one reason we've seen such an amazing rise in the prevalence of farmers markets and local food, especially in a place like Western Massachusetts. So I think there's so much room for conversation and so much room for continued creativity at all levels and among all different groups to explore the way food is an evolving part of our everyday experiences as people on this planet.
Talk a little bit about the new documentary and what brought you to that subject.
Sure. Yeah, the latest food film I've worked on was just released in theaters this January, called The Search for General Tso. And it's more of a cultural culinary odyssey into the story of Chinese food in America. And we use this one iconic dish, which actually in Boston is known as General Gao's chicken, but pretty much everywhere else known as General Tso's chicken, as a kind of a syrupy, sweet, spicy red chicken dish,
yes,
often served over broccoli. We use the dish as a window onto how Chinese food has evolved over the years in America, and even deeper than that, how the experience of Chinese Americans in this country has been partly shaped through their relationship to food. And I'll be talking a bit about that at the conference. And the film will also be finding its way to Netflix in July.
Excellent. And what do you think it ultimately, when, especially when you look at one dish, and it tells a story not only of that, but really of how food comes to us culturally as a whole, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It turns out that food, especially in a place like America, is constantly adapting, and adapting for a whole host of different reasons. In the case of General Tso's chicken and many of the Chinese-American hybrid dishes that evolved before it, in particular a dish like chop suey, for example, these dishes evolved partly in response to the xenophobia and racism and repression that many Chinese immigrants faced when trying to find their way into new communities. So many of the dishes that we see and take for granted today have a history of adaptation and assimilation that has as much to do with culture as it does to do with the kitchen.
When you have a conference like this, and I should mention you're one of the co-founders of Food Corps, which has been around since 2009. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about its goals and its work and how ultimately this fits into that.
Sure. Yeah, Food Corps is a not-for-profit organization that my best friend and former filmmaking collaborator, Kurt Ellis, and I co-founded with four other friends and colleagues I guess 6 years ago now. Partly, for me at least, in response to a lot of the stuff I learned in the cornfields and a lot of what I saw in America about young people not knowing much about healthy food and not knowing much about where their food comes from. So Food Corps is a program which places service members in communities all around the country. We're in 16 states and Washington, D.C. We're in Massachusetts. There's 182 service members, and they fan out to schools around the country and work with kids to build school gardens, teach nutrition, and source healthy foods for the school cafeterias. And in the process, we're really trying to educate a generation of young people to be more connected to the story of our food. And it's been amazing to see the enthusiasm for the project. We get, over 1,000 applications for these service member positions every year and have been able to reach tens of thousands of young people. So I'll be showing some pictures of some of the gardens being planted in Massachusetts and some of the anecdotes from what's being done with Food Corps in Massachusetts at the June conference.
Are you optimistic about the future of our food and our food supply and ultimately our education and our responsibility?
I am. You know, some people ask me, you know, do these films make a difference? And I often have to answer, so far they haven't made all the difference, but they certainly have made a difference. And projects like Food Corps are similarly a part of this wave of efforts to try and reconnect people to the stories of our food. And in so doing, kind of craft a new relationship to not only to food, but really to the planet. And in that sense, I'm optimistic that food can be a really powerful entry point, insofar as most of us eat every day, a really powerful entry point into rethinking the way we relate to our natural resources. And in the process, I think food can be a way for us to craft a more sustainable relationship to the planet. So it's been really encouraging to see, not only, as I mentioned before, the explosive growth of farmers markets across the country, but also the number of young people who are interested in getting their hands dirty and planting gardens of their own, even if it's on a windowsill in a big city, if they don't have any land, or increasingly young people fanning out and finding farmland and trying to make a living as farmers.
Right, and there's a huge variance there. I mean, it doesn't have to be your living.
Right. I mean, in fact, you know, it's many of the farmers I met in Iowa farming 1,000 acres of corn would confess that they relied on off-farm income. You know, their husband or wife's income in town to get health insurance. So even at very large scales, sometimes farmers aren't full-time. So I don't think that needs to discourage a part-time farmer. You know, part-time farmers shouldn't think of themselves as any less important or any less part of the process. I think every little bit helps as far as growing a bit of food.
So, Bloon, how do folks get in... find out more information and get involved?
Well, if they go to our website, masshumanities.org, there's a link right on the front. The sign of the conference this year is the Massachusetts State Cod. So click on the cod, I would say. And there is a full program, full theme statement, explanations of all the sessions and what they are, and registration. It's a pretty good deal, this conference. It's a day-long event, including lunch, including breakfast, and a snack in the afternoon, and it comes out to under $100. And it offers sessions in such skills as doing oral histories with people in communities that create food or in industries of food, like fishing and farming, and other skills building, how to do food demonstrations, also how to understand the story of chocolate and chocolate demonstrations and tasting. The story of chocolate is, of course, that of cocoa and sugar, which are both also very related to Americans' dominance in the sugar markets and also the history of slavery. So that the history of food is incredibly far-reaching. So it's very easy to register. The registration is open, and we welcome anyone and everyone.
Well, it's all good information. This year's Massachusetts History Conference is entitled Chew on This, Presenting Food in Massachusetts Public History. It'll take place June 1st and have a keynote address by filmmaker Ian Chaney, creator of The Search for General So and co-founder of Food Corps. For more information and links, you can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. We have all the information there. It's wamc.org/roundtable. Ian Chaney and Pulun Boresius, I thank you very much, as always, for being here and for all the great work you do. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.